بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 62 in our series on أعلام سنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi رحمه الله. And in the previous lesson, we finished our discussion regarding الشفاعة, which is intercession. So we looked at الشفاعة from a number of angles. First of all, from the verb of iman, having belief in intercession, which is connected to aqidah. These are things that will take place in the hereafter, so we believe in them. So this is connected to aqidah, those things that we must believe in. It also has a connection to tawheed, in the sense that this is one of the greatest things that the polytheists, the mushrikun, that they are attached to, the issue of intercession and soliciting intercession from their deities, be they idols or be they the righteous dead. So there's an angle to it which is connected to tawheed. And then also various groups who went astray in the issue of intercession. From them are those who exaggerated, like the polytheists and the grave worshippers. Then you have those who denied it, who are the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, because they deny that major sinners will leave the hellfire. So therefore they have to deny the intercession, the hadith of intercession, for that reason. And in Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they take the position which is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. They affirm the intercessions which have come in the book and the Sunnah, and they negate the false intercessions claimed by the polytheists. So we finished that discussion and we looked at the various types of intercession, the 7 or 8 types of intercession which are mentioned for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after that, for the other prophets, and for the angels, and for the believers. So today we start with question 136, and this is a question: هل يدخل الجنة أو ينجو من النار أحد بعمله? Will a person enter into paradise or be saved from the hellfire by way of his actions? By way of his actions. Meaning, is it a person's actions by which he enters into paradise and by which he is saved from the hellfire? And so this is an important discussion. The Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi rahimahullah, he brings the hadith, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قاربوا وسددوا واعلموا أنه لن ينجو أحد منكم بعمله. So he said, straighten, become close and straighten, this is in the prayer, and know that no one will be saved, no one among you will be saved by way of his action. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, not even you. He said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. He said, not even me, unless Allah showers me with His mercy out of a bounty from Him and a favor, a blessing and a favor from Him. Out of mercy and a bounty or a favor from Him. And then we have in another narration, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبَشِرُوا فإنه لن يدخل الجنة أحدا عمله. He said, be upright, be straight, and be close, and receive glad tidings that no one will enter into paradise by way of his action. The action of one of you will not enter him into paradise. So they said, قالوا ولا أنت يا رسول الله, and not even you, O Messenger of Allah. So he said, قال ولا أنا إلا أن يتغمدني الله منه برحمة واعلموا أن أحب العمل إلى الله أدومه وإن قل. So he said, not even me, unless Allah showers his mercy upon me, and know that the most beloved of actions to Allah are those which are consistent, even if they are little. Meaning those which a person does them constantly and regularly, consistently, diligently, even if they are small. So this is the speech of Sheikh Hafiz Rahimahullah, and commenting upon this, first of all, some brief comments from Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi Rahimahullah. And he says that what we take from this, يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ هَذَا أَنَّ الْعَمَلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ سَبَبٌ لِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ. What is taken from this is that action is a cause. It's not the cause, but it is a cause for entering into paradise. Otherwise, the Sheikh says, if Allah wanted to deal with a person by way of justice, and he wanted to take account for his favors and bounties, then the bounties of Allah will expire all action. Meaning, so the meaning here is that a person doesn't enter paradise by way of his action alone. It is through Allah's bounty and his mercy. And if Allah wanted to deal a person by way of his justice, then he would want repayment for all of his bounties and favors in full. So if the bounties of Allah were to be enumerated and held against an individual, his action would never be sufficient to make up for all of the bounties. Right? But this is what justice, al-adl, would demand. So if Allah was to treat his servant by way of adl, then he would not enter into paradise, because he has nothing that would allow him to enter into paradise. So what we say, ولكن, however, it is ولكن فضل الله ورحمته. It is simply the bounty of Allah and his mercy. So what we say is that the action is a cause. Obviously, you need action to enter into paradise, but it is not by itself the thing that makes you deserve paradise or enters you into paradise. It is, in fact, Allah's bounty and his mercy. But action is a sabab nevertheless still. So he says, فَمَنْ سَدَّدَ وَقَارَبَ وَاتَّقَ اللَّهِ عز وجل وأصلح فإنه يرجو من الله عز وجل خير رجاء حيث إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لن يدخل أحدا الجنة عمله. So if a person is upright and he's close, meaning he's upright and close, and he fears Allah and he rectifies, then he hopes from Allah عز وجل with the best of hopes, because the Prophet ﷺ said, the action of one of you will not enter him into paradise. And they said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, no, except except unless Allah showers me with His mercy. So that's the brief comment from Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi. And there's some more detail to this mas'ala, to this issue. We have some commentary from Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, Hafizahullah. And he says that a person will not be entered into paradise by way of his action. Rather, it is only by way of Allah's pardon and His mercy. And this is because Allah Azawajal has promised the one who does righteous deeds that he will enter him into paradise, Allah will enter him into paradise as a recompense for what he did. And there are ayat in the Quran, jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun, as a reward for that which they used to do. And in another ayah, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, and that is the paradise which you have inherited on account of what you used to do. So here, in these ayat, it's clear that action is a cause or a reason. So therefore, the Shaykh says, فَالْجَنَّةُ يَدْخُلُهَا الْعَبْدُ بِالْعَمَلِ, a servant will enter paradise by way of action. And we see in these ayat, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ and بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. The ba, the letter ba, used as a preposition here, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. The Sheikh says the ba being used here, because the letter ba can be used for different reasons, the letter ba. The letter ba, the preposition ba, can be used for a sababiyya. A sababiyya is as a cause. Also, the letter ba can be used for al-muqabala. Al-muqabala is like recompense or, you know, compensation, equal payment. Al-muqabala, given in return for something, right? So the letter ba here is, which ba is being used? It is the ba of sababiyya. It is the ba of sababiyya. With the meaning that action is a cause. There must be action. There must be action. Action is a cause for entering into paradise. And so therefore, when the servant, as the Shaykh says, فَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ لِلْعَبْدِ وَأَعْلَاهُ تَوْحِيدُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ وَالْكُفْرُ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, هَذَا الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ هُوَ أَعْظَمُ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي يُدْخِلُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ بِهَا الْعَبْدَ الْجَنَّةِ. Right, so righteous action is needed, it is a cause, and the greatest of the righteous actions is the Tawheed of Allah, and to free oneself from shirk and its people, and to disbelieve in the Taghut, to disbelieve in all false deities. This righteous action is from the greatest of the asbab, of the means by which Allah will enter a servant into paradise. So what we are establishing here is that actions, righteous actions, are a sabab, is a cause, and it is not al-muqabala. What is al-muqabala? Al-muqabala means giving equal consideration or equal payment or just recompense for a thing. So is paradise and what it contains of all of the bliss, and also whatever Allah has given to the servant in the life of this world, of all the favors and the bounties, the worldly bounties, inclusive of being guided in the life of this world as well, all of that Allah has given to a servant, is he given that by way of al-muqabala, meaning equal compensation for what the servant has brought of righteous deeds? And the answer is no. Meaning, does the servant deserve to enter into paradise because of what he has brought, of the righteous actions, of his prayer, his fasting? Is it like, for example, you know, when someone does some work for you and you specify the amount, and so he does the specified work, now he is due the specified amount? This is by way of muqabala, equal consideration on both sides, right? And so here, clearly that cannot be the case. That cannot be the case. Because what Allah gives you of what is in paradise, of all of the bliss, the eternal bliss, and what He's given you in the life of this world, of all of the worldly bounties and favors that you enjoy as a person, the bounty of breathing and seeing and hearing and eating and all the pleasures and everything else, and the offspring and the spouses and everything that you enjoy. And likewise, even greater than that in the life of this world is Iman and guiding you to the true religion. So all of that Allah gives you in this life and in the next, put all of that together, is that equal compensation for your deeds that you did in your life, which is what, 6, 7 decades, 8 decades, and that's it? And, you know, is it equal consideration? No, the answer is no, it cannot be. So therefore, paradise is given not by way of al-muqabala for the righteous actions, but the righteous actions, they are a sabab, one reason or one cause. And the real reason is that Allah Azza wa Jal, it is from His bounty and from, you know, him honoring His servants by way of His bounty. Otherwise, if a servant was abandoned and left, you know, he would never be guided, and the shayateen would take him. So even guidance itself is from Allah. The fact that you were guided and your actions and all your righteousness, it's because Allah guided you. So yes, actions are a cause, but you do not deserve paradise now in terms of equal compensation for your actions. Therefore, the correct thing to say is, as the Shaykh says, لِهَذَا لَا يَدْخُلُ أَحَدٌ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كَمَا قَالَ نَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. So for that reason, no one will enter paradise except by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the Shaykh goes on to say, Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, what do they say? They say, Inna dukhul ahlil jannati lil jannati bisababi al-a'mal as-salihah. Illa fa inna dukhul bi rahmatillahi azza wa jal. So they say, Ahlul Sunnah say, that yes, the people of paradise enter paradise by way of righteous actions. Yes, that is a cause. But the actual entrance is by Allah's mercy. It is by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we enter in, that the believers enter into paradise. So this is why we see in that hadith that Sheikh Hafidh al-Hakimi mentioned, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wala ana," that even I will not enter paradise by way of my actions. إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضَلٍ. Except if Allah showers me with His mercy and with His bounty. Now, this is different to the Mu'tazila, because they say that entering into paradise يكون بالعمل مقابلةً. Right? This is the view of the Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila say that people will enter paradise because this is equal consideration. Right? It is the just reward that Allah owes to His servants. This is what they say. And obviously there's a reason why they say that. This is tied to their position, connected to their position on Al-Qadr, because they are deniers of Al-Qadr. They deny Al-Qadr. They say that Allah does not will or create the actions of the servants. Yes, initially He created them. Yes, He created them and gave them the ability and power and so on and so forth. He did that initial creation. But after that, men's deeds, they choose independently outside of Allah's will and Allah's power. And so they do their deeds on their own. So when they do their deeds on their own, without any aid from Allah, without Allah having decreed it, without Allah having favored them and given them any bounty by guiding them, because they don't believe Allah does this, that Allah guides a person or misguides a person. This is down to a person himself. He's the creator of his own actions. So therefore, when they do these deeds completely independently of the, on their own, outside of Allah's will and power, therefore they are due equal compensation, equal consideration. They have to be recompensed. They must be recompensed. This is the way of thinking of the Mu'tazila, and it is connected to their position on Al-Qadr. Whereas Ahlul Sunnah do not say that. We say no, Allah has decreed, Allah has prior knowledge of all the deeds of His servants. He has willed them, He has decreed for them to occur. And some of His servants, He gives them bounty and favor in that He guides them because they want guidance. And others, He leaves them and abandons them to their own devices because they don't want guidance. And therefore, He is the creator of their actions. He creates their actions. Whereas we are the doers of our actions. So when we do the actions, yes, it is a sabab. It is a cause of us entering into paradise. But do we deserve paradise just because of our actions on their own? The answer is no. Because it is from Allah's fadl and His bounty that He guided us in the first place, and He wrote for us guidance, and He decreed for us guidance, and granted us success in the means of guidance. All of it comes from Him. So therefore, the entry into paradise is the actions, they are a sabab. It is not by way of al-muqabala. Al-muqabala. So this is the difference between the Mu'tazila and what they say, and what Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, what they say. The next question, question 137, which is carries on from the same topic. مَا الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَبَيْنَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. How do we reconcile between this hadith that we just mentioned, meaning the hadith in which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that even I will not enter paradise unless Allah enters me under His mercy, unless showers me with His mercy. But how do we reconcile that hadith with this ayah in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7 verse 43, in which Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, and they will be called, and it will be said to them, that is the paradise which you have inherited, bima kuntum ta'malun, by way of that which you did. Isn't there a contradiction? Because in the ayah it says that you will enter paradise by way of what you did. And the hadith says, even I will not enter paradise by my actions unless Allah showers me with His mercy. So Shaykh Hafidh Al-Hakimi rahimahullah, he answers this question. He says, لا منافاة بينهما بحمد الله فإن الباء المثبتة في الآية هي باء السببية لأن الأعمال الصالحة سبب في دخول الجنة لا يحصل إلا بها. So he says, There's no contradiction between the ayah and the hadith by Allah's praise, because the ba that is affirmed in the ayah is the ba of sababiyyah. It is the ba of causation, something being a cause or a reason. Now, and this is because also, إِذْ الْمُسَبَّبْ وُجُودُهُ بِوُجُودِ سَبَبِهِ. This is because any effect, any outcome or any effect, if it exists, it is through the existence of its cause. Right? So, entering paradise is an effect, and it has a cause, which is that you did righteous actions. This is true. Just like كَمَا أَنَّ الْحَرْثُ سَبَبٌ فِي وُجُودِ الزَّرْعِ. Just like if you were to till the land and sow the seeds, that is a cause of the outcome, which is you know, the harvest. The harvest has a cause, has to have a cause. And likewise, having relations is the cause of offspring. There can be no offspring except without relations, and so on and so forth. So what this means here then is entering paradise is by way of actions as a cause. There must be actions, and a person will not enter paradise without action. Just as in the same way, there will be no harvest except with planting the seed and cultivating the land. And there will be no offspring except by way of marriage and relations. In the same way, there will be no paradise except by way of righteous actions. However, as we discussed previously, what is being negated? والمنفي في الحديث هي باء الثمانية. So what is being negated in the hadith is the ba of, like, the price. That's what's being negated. Meaning, are righteous actions an equal price for paradise? The answer is no. Right? So in the hadith, what's being negated is الثمانية or المقابلة, which is equal consideration or the actual cost, the price of entering paradise. Are deeds, are they sufficient price for entering paradise? The answer is no. The Shaykh goes on to say, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ لَوْ عُمِّرَ عُمْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَهُوَ يَسُومُ النَّحَارِ وَيَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَيَجْتَنِبُ الْمَعَاسِي كُلَّهَا لَمْ يُقَابِلْ كُلُّ عَمَلِهِ عُشْرَ مِعْشَارِ أصغر نعم الله عليه الظاهرة والباطنة. He said, if a person was to live as long as, you know, in the world, as long as the world, and he fasted during the day, prayed during the night, avoided all of the sins, all of that would not even equal a tenth of a tenth of the smallest of the bounties of Allah, inward or outward, that have been given to him. Right? So a whole lifetime, or even the time of the world you spend just praying, fasting, avoiding sins and everything, that would not equal even a tenth of a tenth of the smallest of the bounties that Allah has given you. And so therefore, how can a person's deeds be the actual equal cost or equal price for entering into paradise? And he mentions the ayah, وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. O my Lord, forgive and show mercy, for you are the best of those who show mercy. So again, this is like another angle, that actions are not the price for entering into paradise, because they are not equal consideration for Allah's bounties, Allah's favors in this world, let alone paradise in the next. So therefore, what we say is that actions are a sabab. There must be actions just like cultivation, planting, tilling is required for the harvest at the end of it, the fruits and the harvest, in the same way, actions are necessary for entering into paradise, though a person is not receiving paradise because of equal consideration or, you know, his actions being the price for paradise. This is incorrect. So this is the speech of Sheikh Hafidh al-Hakimi rahimahullah, and Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, he comments upon this and he says that a person will not enter paradise except by way of actions, meaning actions are a must. They are part of the reasons of entering into paradise, so there must be actions. And however, actions are not the price for paradise. And he mentions the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala inna sal'ata Allahi ghaliya, ala inna sal'ata Allahi al-jannah, in which he said, indeed the merchandise of Allah is it's expensive, it's costly. Indeed, the merchandise of Allah is paradise. Right? So, your actions do not equal paradise. Paradise is too worthy, too expensive, too lofty to be equal consideration for your actions. So what is important, the Shaykh goes on to say, that here, أَنَّ الْعَمَلْ لَيْسَ ثَمَنًا لِلْجَنَّةِ وَلَكِنَّهُ سَبَبٌ فِي دُخُولِهَا. So action is not the price, the cost or the price for entering paradise, but it is a cause for entering into paradise and for a person entering into the mercy of Allah, right? So this is how it is seen. That your actions are a cause for entering into Allah's mercy, and it is Allah's mercy that then enters you into paradise. Not that your actions are now the cost or the price, equal consideration for receiving paradise. No. Your actions are to earn Allah's mercy, and then it is Allah's mercy that enters you into paradise. And this is because, as the Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْحَمُ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَعَطَاعَهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى بِقَدْرِ الْإِمْكَانِ وَإِنْ حَصَلَتْ مِنْهُ حَفَوَاتٍ فَإِنَّهُ بَشَرٌ وَالْبَشَرِيَّ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ تَتَأَثَّرْ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا وَبِمَا فِيهَا. So he says that Allah shows mercy to the one who does righteous deeds and obeys him to his ability. Even if some slips and mistakes happen from him, he's man, and man, you know, is affected by this world, obviously, so therefore he will sin and follow his desires. However, righteous actions are the cause of entering into Allah's mercy, and it is Allah's mercy which then enters him into paradise. So if a person, فَإِذَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي أَغْلَبِ أَحْوَالِهِ عَلَى الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ, if a person in the most of his life or most of his deeds are upon istiqama, are upon righteousness, upon goodness, then he can hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a good hope that Allah will enter him into his mercy and his paradise. And the actions themselves are not the direct cause of entering into paradise. And this is a key sentence. وَلَا تَكُونُ الْأَعْمَالُ سَبَبًا لِلْجَنَّةِ وَلَكِنَّهَا سَبَبٌ فِي حُصُولِ الرَّحْمَةِ الَّتِي بِهَا يَدْخُلُ الْعَبْدُ الْجَنَّةِ. Right? So this really kind of captures the essence of the point, which is that actions are not the direct cause of entering into paradise, but they are a cause of obtaining the mercy of Allah, by which a servant enters into paradise. So this is the correct way to look at it. And the Sheikh gives a nice story. He says there is a story, however it is ضعيف. وهناك قصة إلا أنها ضعيفة. There's a story, but it is ضعيف. It is mentioned, يحكى أن رجلا ممن كان قبلنا. It is mentioned that there was a man from the nations who came before us. ظل 500 سنة. He lived for 500 سنة. He lived for 500 years. يعبد الله, worshipping Allah. وسأل الله أن يقبضه وهو ساجد. And he made dua to Allah to take his soul while he is in the state of prostration. فحصل له ذلك. So this happened. Allah answered his dua. He was prostrating, and Allah took his soul. And then it is mentioned, فيروى أنه يوم القيامة. It was mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, he will come. يأتي فيقول الله عز وجل. Allah عز وجل will say, أدخلوا عبدي الجنة برحمتي. Allah will say, enter this man, enter my servant into paradise through my mercy, due to my mercy, due to me forgiving him on account of my mercy. So the man will say, فيقول لا يا رب بل بعملي. The man will say, no, my Lord, but by way of my action. فيقول ردوا عبدي. So Allah will then say, return, bring back my servant. وحاسبوه بنعمة البصر. So bring back my servant and then do the accounting with respect to the favor and the bounty of vision, of sight. So then, meaning here that the angels, that he will be, so the bounty of seeing will then be accounted for by way of the deeds that he did in those 500 years. And then it will be found that that one bounty of seeing, it will far outweigh all of the deeds that he did in those 500 years. All the worship, the prostration, everything. It will not be enough. Which now means that his action has fallen short. So therefore, so he says, فَسَتُنْفِذُ جَمِيعَ عَمَلِهِ وَالْبَاقِي عَلِيهِ. So it will mean that the bounty of seeing will devour and eat up all of his actions, and there will be a great amount left over that does not fulfill and make up for the favor of seeing. So then, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, Allah عز وجل will say, أَدْخِلُ عَبْدِي النَّارِ. Allah will then say, enter my servant into the hellfire. Why? Because he wanted the accounting, he wanted it to be done, he wanted to be entered into paradise by way of his action. So then Allah treated him by way of his adal, right? So initially it was entering into paradise by way of Allah's fadl and rahmah, bounty and mercy. Then the servant said, no, it's by way of my action, which now requires that he be judged by way of adl, by way of justice. So justice now demands, let's take one of the favors that you had, in this case it is seeing, and let's weigh everything that you've done. Does it make up for that one favor of seeing? And it could be something else. It could be breathing. It could be eating, the taste on the tongue and the satisfaction of the stomach and so on. So it could be anything. And so on that basis, the deeds are not enough, which means that the servant did not bring enough deeds to enter into paradise. Therefore, he deserves hellfire. So when the man heard that, when the man heard, Allah will say, أَدْخِلُ عَبْدِيَ النَّارِ فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ. So then the man gave up and said, oh my Lord, by your mercy, by your mercy. So the Sheikh says what is important here is this narration or this report. It's daif, it's not authentic. Even if it was authentic, if it was authentic, then within it is an admonition. There is a lesson in this hadith. And so what it shows is that a person does not deserve paradise by way of his actions. And his actions only earn him the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is through Allah's mercy that servant then enters into paradise. And it is not by way of al-muqabala or al-thamaniyya, meaning equal consideration or that he's paid the cost or the price. No, it is by way of sababiyya, meaning that the action is a requirement, yes. It is a cause, yes. It must be present, yes. But it only earns you the mercy of Allah. It doesn't earn you, in and of itself, paradise. And so that is the end of the comments of Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this brings us to the speech of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu, who comments upon this as well. And he says the same point, that the ba in these ayat, jaza'an bima kuntum, jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. This does not mean al-iwad. Al-iwad. Al-iwad is another word, another term. Right? So we have al-muqabala, we have thamaniyya, al-thamaniyya, we have al-iwad. Al-iwad is kind of like compensation. Al-iwad, it's like a compensation. Or being paid for something. Right? Being given something in return for something else. Al-iwad. And that's because, again, the same hadith, illa wala ana illa an yataghammadni Allahu bi rahmatih. I will not enter paradise, neither will I enter paradise, unless Allah showers me with His mercy. So the ba, the letter ba, in the ayah, jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun, meaning it is a sabab that they will enter paradise, because action is a sabab. Is a sabab for entering paradise. And it's not the meaning of iwad, meaning that you are now deserving. It's a bit like if you hire somebody to do a job for you, or you hire a taxi or something, and you take the service, you take the benefit. Now there has to be that person has to be paid by way of it. It is an iwad. It is compensation. His compensation is due. An equivalent compensation. Right? So again, similar to what we said before, al-thamaniyya and al-muqabala. So paradise is not an iwad. Right? It is not a compensation, an equivalent compensation. Because if Allah the Exalted, if He wanted to give us some sort of equal compensation, then one bounty, one favor itself that Allah gives to us in the life of this world would equal all of our actions. That's in the life of this world, let alone the hereafter. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to enumerate the bounties of Allah, you will not be able to enumerate them. And so beware of this, the Shaykh says, because this issue became problematic for some of the scholars when Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, as a recompense for that which they used to do. And so the answer here is the apparent confusion or apparent contradiction between the ayah and the hadith that we mentioned. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ أَحَدٌ الْجَنَّةِ بِعَمَلِهِ, that one of you will not enter into paradise by his action. The answer is that the ba that is being negated in the hadith is the ba'ul iwad, or the ba'ul thamaniyya, or the ba'ul muqabala, right? Compensation, equal consideration, the cost of, you know, the cost of paradise. No, all of this is what is being negated in the ahadith. And the ba that's being affirmed is the ba of sababiyya. So this is the end of the speech on these two questions relating to that particular issue, that when the believers enter paradise, is it because they deserved paradise? Is it because they brought all of the gratitude and the ibadah and the ubudiyyah and the shukr, and you know, that was due upon them? No, that's not possible to bring, because Allah's bounties and favors are way too many. So therefore, this means that paradise is entered by way of Allah's mercy, not because it is equal compensation, equal consideration, or that actions are the actual cost of paradise. No, because paradise is much more worthy and more, you know, costly and expensive, so to speak, than to be made up for by way of a servant's actions. So that brings us to the end of that. This brings us to the next question. And now we start a topic related to Al-Qadr. So this now is the sixth and the final pillar of Iman. So everything that we've been discussing previously, right until the last question, all of it has been under the fifth pillar, which is belief in the last day. Right? So going back many, many questions earlier about death, the barzakh, and then the resurrection, and the mawqif, and the qiyam, and the hisab, and the hawd, and everything that we've been discussing, the bridge, the sirat, intercession, all those events, and even this issue of entering paradise, and then likewise before that, looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of that came under the topic of the belief in the last day. So the next question number 138, we'll read it for this lesson, and we'll look at the commentary in the next lesson, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so this is, ما دليل الإيمان بالقدر جملة. What is the evidence for belief in Al-Qadr in a broad sense, in a general sense? So the Shaykh Hafiz Al-Hakimi rahimahullah, he says, قال الله تعالى وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا. Allah the Exalted said, the command of Allah, or the affair of Allah, is a decree determined. It's something already determined. وقال تعالى ليقضي الله أمرا كان مفعولا. That Allah may accomplish a matter already ordained. That Allah may accomplish a matter already ordained. Al-Anfal, Surah Al-Anfal 8, verse 42. The first one is Ahzab 33, verse 38. وقال تعالى وكان أمر الله مفعولا. That the affair of Allah must be fulfilled, will be fulfilled. Al-Ahzab 33, verse 37. وقال تعالى ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه. Whatever befalls of any affliction is not except by Allah's permission, is but by Allah's permission, and whoever believes in Allah, he will guide his heart aright. وقال تعالى وما أصابكم يوم التقى الجمعان فبإذن الله. And whatever befell you, whatever afflicted you on the day that the two parties met, then it is by Allah's permission. By Allah's permission. وقال تعالى الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المحتدون. Those who, when they are afflicted with a calamity, they say, to Allah we belong, and to Him shall we return. They are the ones upon whom is there are a salawat from their Lord and mercy, blessing from their Lord and mercy, and they are the ones who are rightly guided. وَهِيَرَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. Another such ayat. And likewise the hadith, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدَرِ خيره وشره, in the hadith of Jibreel, that you believe in al-qadr, it's good and it's evil, and also the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa'lam anna ma asabaka lam yakun liyukhti'aka wa ma akhta'aka lam yakun liyusibak. Know that whatever befell you was never going to miss you, and whatever misses you or passes you by was never going to befall you. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت لكان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Likewise in the hadith, if something afflicts you, do not say, if only I had done such and such, it would have been such and such. But say, قدر الله, Allah has decreed, Allah decreed it, وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, and whatever he willed, he did. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, in another hadith, كل شيء بقدر حتى العجز والكيس. This is a hadith in Muslim. He said, everything is by way of the qadr, until even the inability, like al-ajz, meaning the inability of a servant, or al-kays, which means that the zeal and the intelligence of a servant to do things. So either the incapability of a servant, or the capability and the zeal and the intelligence of a servant, all of these things, they are by way of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other similar hadith in that respect. So this is the, in fact we'll read through the brief commentary of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, and we can conclude the lesson there. So the Shaykh says that whatever Allah wishes, whatever Allah yurid, whatever he desires, whatever he wishes, then a servant cannot do except that. Whatever Allah has decreed in this world, then it will happen. And it will only happen in the way that Allah desired it, and whatever he did not will, then it will not happen at all, ever. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah wills will happen, whatever he does not will not happen. Now, al-Iman in al-Qadr شَرْطٌ فِي صِحَّةِ الْإِيمَانِ. Belief in al-Qadr is a condition for our Iman to be valid. Right? Without belief in Iman, without belief in Qadr, your Iman is invalid, meaning that you cannot be a believer except with belief in al-Qadr, because it is a pillar from the pillars of Iman. It's like the other pillars. Without belief in Allah, you're a disbeliever. Without belief in the angels, you are a disbeliever, even if you believe in Allah. Without belief in the books, you are a disbeliever, even if you believe in Allah and the angels. Without belief in the prophets, you are a disbeliever, even if you believe in Allah, the angels, and the books. And likewise, the last day. And likewise, al-qadr. This is a pillar of Iman, and without it, Iman is invalid. فلا يكون الإنسان مؤمنا حتى يؤمن بالقدر والذين ينكرون القدر هؤلاء لا يعتبرون مؤمنين. A believer can only be a believer if he believes in al-qadr, and those who deny al-qadr, they are not considered to be believers. Now, there are those who are the deniers of al-qadr. They say لا قدر وأن الأمر عنف. You know, these people say there's no qadr. Things just happen, they're just random and they just happen. And then there are others who say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْخَيْرِ وَلَمْ يَكْتُبْ الشَّرِ قَدَّرَ الْخَيْرِ وَلَمْ يُقَدِّرْ الشَّرِ. There's another group of people who say, yes, Allah decreed goodness, but he did not decree the evil. Evil is something that man does himself outside of Allah's decree, outside of Allah's will, outside of Allah's power, because Allah does not will evil. So this is like another aspect. Some people deny qadr altogether, the good and the evil, and there are some people who deny that even that which is evil in this world, that is also by decree. They deny that as well. And so the Sheikh says, لا يصح إسلامهم حتى يؤمنوا بأن كل شيء في هذه الدنيا لا بد أن يكون بقدر من الله حركات العباد وسكناتهم وسعادتهم وشقاوتهم وشقاوتهم وطاعتهم ومعصيتهم وأعمارهم وأرزاقهم وآجالهم وأخلاقهم كل ذلك بقدر من الله سبحانه وتعالى. ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. The Sheikh says here in this passage that their Islam is not valid, is invalid, until they believe that everything in this dunya, then it must be by way of qadr from Allah. The movements of the servants, so when they are in motion and when they are in rest, right? When they're doing things or when they are at rest, that is by Allah's decree. When they are, you know, their moments of happiness, their moments of wretchedness, their obedience, their disobedience, their lives, their provision, their lifespan, their akhlaq, their meaning, their manners and their behaviors, all of that is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do deeds, for everyone will be facilitated for that for which he has been created. Right? So we must do deeds. Even though there is the qadr of Allah, we must do deeds because Allah will facilitate that by way of his bounty, his fadl, and his mercy. And then he says, وَالَّذِينَ انْتَحَلُوا الْمَذْهَبَ الْقَدَرِي هُمُ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ أَسَّسَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ وَاسِلِ بْنِ عَطَاءِ Al-Ghazal wa Amr bin Ubaid. Those who followed the Qadari Madhab, the doctrine of the Qadariyah, they are the Mu'tazila. And the first of those who established that is Wasil bin Ata Al-Ghazal, and likewise Amr bin Ubaid. All right, so these two men were in the early second century after Hijrah, and they are the ones who adopted this negation of Al-Qadr. And then they obviously had other innovations after that as well, various other innovations too. But they are the ones who adopted the negation of Al-Qadr. So the Mu'tazila, when we say Mu'tazila, then we also say Qadariyah, because they are famously known for denying Al-Qadr. So we'll stop at that point, inshallah. We'll continue in the next lesson by looking at the commentary of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah on this same question, on this topic of Al-Qadr. But we'll leave that for the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. And with that, we'll conclude today's lesson. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.